There he is.
Here I am.
I can hear you.
I got kicked out of my conference room. So I'll be here like a, right here like this, you know, like a mugshot.
Like you do one of those Ed Ray things where he looks like he's a walking zombie.
You know, I've never tried to do that background thing, you know.
Sandy does it when she used to be with Husson University. She had this thing where it pop up in the background. It was kind of slick. You know, man, where you were, that's...
I have it. I just don't know what to do with it, so I'm not sure how to set it up. I'll leave it alone. Of course, if good thing I don't have many people working today. Not in their lunchroom. If they all come out now, they're all going to join in.
I hear you. So, Joe, I was thinking I'll kind of start off with a little background and history. And then I was going to ask Dan to go through some of the detailed stuff and then invite a conversation after that.
Sounds good. I'll be just the plate guy sitting in the corner. Morning, Chris.
Morning, everybody.
Hey, Chris.
Brian, how are you?
I'm well, thank you. Thanks for joining us.
You got it.
See, that Chris has got one of those things. Gets the background all blurry.
Yeah, I'm technologically advanced here.
High-teching. Just high-teching.
That's it. Well, I mean,
I just use a white wall.
You know, I think that's just as good, if not better. How's everything out on Long Island today?
A little cool this morning. She breezed up a little bit.
Yeah.
And after yesterday, you know, but it's typical March, you know.
Southwest.
You know what it's like. Yeah.
Southwest and northwest and southwest and northwest, and then a good easterly comes through. Yep. Sounds like spring.
Yep. Yipper. So.
So, Brian,
hey, Joe. Yeah, good, Chris. Morning. Good morning.
Did you get the confirmation on your HUD?
Yes.
Great. Good.
Yeah. In fact, I'll kind of mention that in passing today. I shared with the board the other night. If you think that MDOT is a large bureaucracy with a lot of rules and regulations, you're not in the same league as the Department of Housing and Urban Development.
Anytime you go federal, Brian, anytime you go federal, there's flaming hoops and they stack up.
The grant agreement is like 25 pages, and the guideline that outlines the grant agreement is like 80 pages.
Yeah.
And I've had two webinars, 2 hours each already. This is prior to even signing anything. But yeah, we're off and going with them.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. That's going to be a really, really beneficial for you guys to have that money available. Good.
I agree. Hey, Dan, I see you've joined in.
Hey, Brian. Good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
Doing well.
Hi, Dan.
Hi, how are you?
You know, I'm doing all right. Another day in Augusta.
Good. Yeah.
Hey, Joe Prescott, I was going to mention, we had you on board, I think, about 2 years ago in one of these Zoom meetings.
Yeah, that's when we did the...
pilings?
Yeah, when we were doing the pilings. Yes, sir.
Right.
Oh, here's Rick.
Yeah.
Good morning.
Good morning, Rick. How are you?
Pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing great, thank you. I see Austin Coleman is joining us as well. Would that be it, Rick? Because we have Chris and Joe and yourself and Austin.
I believe so.
Great, great. I'll just wait a second to make sure. I guess Austin is on. He's just muted. There he is. Hi, Austin. How you doing?
Good. Good morning.
Good morning. Thank you. What we have just introduced, I'll do the introductions here. We have Joe Donovan, who's the chairman of the select board for the town of Long Island. Dan Bannon from GEI Consultants is here as well. Myself as the town administrator for the town itself. And then representing MDOT, Rick, would be yourself and Chris Mayo and Joe Prescott and Austin Coleman. So welcome. It's great. I'm glad we finally got this meeting set. I know it's like pulling teeth sometimes. So what I mentioned earlier to Joe Donovan was that I would, if you don't mind, just start with just a brief background, just to summarize where we've been the last few years with Mariner's Wharf. And then I was going to ask Dan Bannon from GEI Consultants to kind of go through some of the technical issues, the marine survey that his firm had completed, and identifying some of the components that survey work. So without further ado, just jumping in. So Mariner's Wharf, I won't go back to when it was constructed in the mid-90s by the state, but essentially we start with really around 2015 probably, when the town started thinking about improvements to the floats and the ramps and the wave screens down there. And in 2017, we actually completed the first phase of those improvements, reconfigured the layout of the floats, the design, had some brand new floats brought in, an 80-foot ramp, handicap accessible ramp, and we constructed that wave screen extension on the end of Mariner's Wharf, offset it about 4 feet, I think, in, and probably ran it, I'm going to guess, around 60 feet, more or less. So that was in 2017. With the idea that we would move forward with a second phase following that. But in 2020, we realized that the cost estimates for doing that second phase, which is replacing all the wave screen and also adding new wave screen down that east side of the float, just to give us additional protection. So we realized we didn't have enough funds. The cost of maritime construction, as you all know, is just skyrocketing. The pool of money that we had accumulated wasn't sufficient for that. So we needed to find some more funds to go forward with that. That was 2020. 2021, MDOT removes the old wave screen and that northeast corner so you could replace those 9 pilings. We had that conversation, I remember, about replacing the wave screen and what kinds of work that should be done. Then we move forward into January 22, and the nor'easter storm rips through and creates just extensive damage to Mariner's Wharf, to our floats. It wiped out almost half of that new wave screen we had constructed. One of the new floats was found up on the shoreline, 100 yards away. The town incurred about $75,000 in temporary repairs to get things back in order. And that still didn't include replacing that wave screen that we just built a couple of years prior. So we move forward into the spring of that year, when actually MDOT came through CPM construction out of Freeport, and replaced the wave screen on those 9 pilings. And then following that, we had GEI consultants do another marine survey just to see what damage was done by that nor'easter storm. January 23, the town was fortunate. We had applied for one of those congressionally directed spending grants through Senator Collins's office for $477,000 to go along with our monies that we had accumulated, so we could get that phase 2 wave screen project going. That was approved by Senator Collins' office, and then eventually by in the budgetary process. As I mentioned, just start of our meeting, I've been working with HUD to get that off the ground. We will be seeking an additional SHIP grant. We'll be filing an amended application, or a new application, I guess, at this point, looking for $250,000 to go along with the 477, to go along with the town's $225,000 that we have set aside. And hopefully when we go out to bid, we'll be able to find out how far that will go with wave screen replacement and the extension of the new stuff. And we may still be short. I don't know, but we got to give it a shot here. So the real issue is going to be talking about some of the underlying infrastructure issues at Mariner's Wharf, which really need to be taken care of prior to us trying to attach and rebuild the existing wave screen. And maybe that's just a good segue, Dan, if you'd like to kind of go through some of your report, and we can then kind of open up following your presentation for a general discussion.
Sure.
I got to share the screen with you.
Yeah. Can you give me screen sharing capability?
Sure, Dan. One second. Okay, you should be all set.
He's getting pretty good with his Zoom stuff.
Yeah, that looks like it worked. So here we go. Thanks, Brian, for the introduction. And I know we've had several conversations on this over the last few years. So some of you are definitely more up to speed on this, but just to give a quick overview. So Brian mentioned the work that was proposed to be done. And I guess let me first just show some photos for reference. So this is the main face of the pier, and this is where the ferry primarily berths. And as you can see, there's the fender system on the face, and there's the town's wave screen. And you can even see just from this photo, there are some issues. You can see several broken planks, but there are also additional issues with some of the structural elements that I'll show on some other photos that are not visible just right from here. But the general scope that was envisioned really going back, I think, to 2015 or 2016 was to make any necessary upgrades to the wave screen along the main face, make upgrades to the wave screen along the side face over here, and then also extend the wave screen down along the pier approach. And that would be to provide further protection for the floats that are over here on this side, which you can't really see in the photo. And so to go back to the plans, again, here's this main face that has wave screen that was installed when the pier was first built in 96. That wave screen extended down this side. So there were some upgrades that we wanted to make to both of those, as well as then again adding new wave screen along this small section here and along this section here to better protect this dock system from winds and waves coming out of the north. And so we had prepared a draft PS&E set for that that project, and when that was originally envisioned back in 2015 or so, much of this, as you know, marine structures deteriorate over time. And so many of the elements it was anticipated that they could be reused. As time passed and members continued to deteriorate, and also specific events happened that caused damage, we had recommended that we go in and assess the condition of the elements that would be necessary to support this new work so that we could make recommendations for what work needed to be done around that. And so we have, like Joe mentioned, Brian mentioned, we did a first inspection in 2021, in 2021. And then the storm happened in January of 2022, causing damage. And so we did another updated inspection following that storm. But as the town prepares for implementing some of this work, I think there's some really critical fundamental questions that need to be answered about who's responsible for some of the elements that need repairs. I'll go to the photos here for a second. So these are from the 2022 inspection. These were just last summer. And you can see some, this photo here is behind the, I guess it would be the south corner of the pier. You can see the wave screen here, the steel piles, support piles for the pier, there's timber piles in between, and you can see some of the framing behind the piles here that's falling apart. Other photos, again, broken wave screen planks. There's some framing elements that have actually fallen completely off and are down on the seabed. You can see some of these batter piles that frame into the back of the vertical piles that have some rot, and it actually looks like the, I'm not sure if there was a whale originally installed here or not. Based on the design plans, there should have been one, but the way that they have washers and nuts here, it almost looks like those were never installed in the first place. I don't know that for sure. But you can see some areas where repairs are clearly required, some of these timber elements. Let me go back to plans for a second. And so when we look at the wave screen that needs to be repaired, so this is the main face. The town is looking to replace the wave screen planks. And then where necessary would replace the upper and lower whales, as well as add a new bottom whale, because one of the issues is that the tails on the bottom ends of these planks in a lot of places are breaking off. And you can see on this plan, we from 2020 had indicated that those existing whales would remain. Based on more recent assessments, some of those probably do need to be replaced. And then also in 2020, had indicated that the timber, plumb, and batter piles were also to remain, but some of those as well, we feel need repair or replacement. And then similarly, you can see there's a back whale here that in some places is deteriorated or has failed and really needs to be replaced at this time. And so those elements really need to be in place and in sufficient condition for reuse for the town to install a new wave screen attached to them. And that gets to the question of really who is responsible for replacing those elements. Before I present that as a question, I'll just go over here. This is on the, let me go back to the photo here. So now we're looking at this face, which we've been calling the north face on the plans. So on that north face, there's also a series of fender piles that are sometimes used by the ferry as a backup berth. But then there's also a wave screen that's mounted to that fender pile system. The existing construction or the original construction had an upper whale mounted to the underside of the deck, a low water whale, and then a series of batter piles that framed in below that low water whale. What's currently out there, when DOT replaced the piles in 2022, the piles were replaced and the whales were replaced, but these batter piles were not replaced. So there's no batter piles out on that face right now. But again, we get to the same question where, the town is, the wave screen is a town-owned element, but it relies on being supported by the piles and—
Dan, we lost you.
And which are also part of the fendering for the structure. And so the question that keeps coming up is, where does the responsibility lie for these elements? Does the town need to be replacing them as part of their project, or are they part of the DOT fender system that would be maintained by DOT? Brian, is that a good introduction? Should we transition to some conversation, or is there more you'd like me to share first?
Hey, Dan, this is Joe.
Can you hear?
Dan?
Yes.
Yeah, Brian, I think, is having trouble hearing you. I don't know about the rest of you. I had no problem with your
presentation. I've been hearing just fine.
I'm not sure how it... Okay, so I think Brian has been fading in and out here. But taking over Brian, I say, yes, go ahead and we can start the conversation and we'll try and get Brian back in.
Yeah, so...
His picture looks good.
So... I guess, again, it's kind of the fundamental question, and maybe it's not the only purpose of this meeting, but I think one of the important things that needs to be discussed is where that responsibility lies, because the town needs to plan for repairs to what elements they're responsible for. The town has a maintenance agreement in place with DOT, but that maintenance agreement isn't really that clear. It clearly says the town is responsible for the wave screen. But again, I think the question is, what is wave screen and what is fendering? Because if you look at some of these photos, for example, you have the wave screen is mounted to these whales, but these whales are also mounted to rubber fenders, which mount to back whales, which mount to batter piles, which, that was likely designed around resisting the berthing forces for the ferry. And so, are all of these pieces town elements, or are these DOT elements? I don't know the answer to that, but I think that's something that we're hoping to discuss.
I can answer some of those, Dan. The front portion of that fendering system with the piles and the batter piles are DOT's responsibility for maintaining them. I think really what we're trying to do is, like anything, you're going to get deterioration over time, but is it time to replace them right now? If we're talking about the other portion that we did in 2021, 22, where we cut off the batter piles, that is not really a berthing site. I mean, you can still berth small boats there, and we believe that it didn't need that lateral support. So that's kind of why we kind of did away with those, because those original piles that were there were from the original construction from 96. And if you were there at the first inspection, you could see that they have been there quite a long time.
Right. And these ones are too. The
batter pile. Yes, they are.
Yeah. So all of these timber piles. So just for reference, I guess if we look at the plan view. It's the vertical piles along this face were replaced by DOT in 2021, 22. Along this face, the timber, vertical, and batter piles, well, some of the fender piles all the way out at the outer face have been replaced, but the inner right. ones are original to 96.
I think the bigger question is trying to match up the service life the rest of the piles, right? Because even through your inspection, not all the once you keep those piles submerged, they usually last quite a long time once you get below the oxygens, right? But I mean, I think even through your inspections, you had two or three of those batter piles that were poor condition.
Yeah, I'd have to go back and look at the tables. I don't remember exactly, but some of those were in poor condition. Yeah, and so I think, again, the question is just who's responsible for which elements of that? On the main face, particularly, I guess here, if we look at these sections, these whales and batter piles appear to support fendering elements. There's a rubber fender in here. That might suggest that they're part of the fender system. But obviously they support the wave screen as well.
Those would be for the fendering system. That's part of the structural berthing site. So yeah, I would agree. That would be a main DOT responsibility.
Okay. So would it be safe to assume then that on the main face, basically, I guess it's almost anything other than the wave screen flanks and these front chocks would be part of the fender system. These whales would appear to be, and then the batter piles and the vertical piles would appear to be.
Correct.
Okay, well, that's good clarification. One thing I had recommended to the town, and which may be something that the town wants to pursue with DOT at some point. I think I had, just pulling out a page here, was to add some more clarity to this, basically have a table like this that just went through specifically each element and identified who's responsible for that element. That's something that I think could be really valuable because even what you're indicating now about the responsibility being on DOT for these whales and vertical and batter piles on the main face, that's something that we had not, that had not been communicated to us before. And so I think the town will probably want to follow up with a document like that table just to get it written down so that it's confirmed and they have that for future reference on other inspection or other repair projects in the future.
So if I could interrupt for a minute. One of the issues is Brian has left us. I mean, we have his video. He doesn't have any audio from us at this point. So just to clarify that he's watching us, but he's not listening to us. So just to just let you know that. A couple of things. If I maybe can add.
I'm sorry to interrupt. Brian, if you want to call, well, I don't know if he can hear me, but if he could call me, I could put him on speaker and he could at least hear and participate in the conversation. It doesn't have to come through the computer.
It may help to reconnect to the call as well.
I was just going to say, if he leaves and comes back, he'll get audio back.
I'm just hoping when he leaves, we don't lose the call entirely because he was the initiator of the call, right?
Right. Yeah. I'm not sure he's calling. I told him to call. So he's working on that right now. Not sure who he's calling, but.
Hey, Rick.
Hello.
Hi, is this Brian?
Yes, this is Brian. I'm sorry. I've totally lost audio here.
So let me, Brian, I'll keep myself unmuted, and you can at least hear the conversation and contribute to the conversation if you want.
And Brian, thank you, Rick. That's great.
Brian, you're going to want to mute your Zoom.
So I think to me, this has provided a lot of really helpful clarification on the main face. I guess what I was thinking is basically, and I can follow up with notes, but if we just say the elements outlined in blue are DOT responsibility, if we assume that that basically this is DOT. And let's see how we do this. Well, that's DOT. And the piles are would be DOT is what you're indicating. And obviously the fender piles here would be DOT as well. And then the planks and the front chocks would be on the town. So I think in my mind, that answers any questions that I would have on the main face. Does the town have anything else there?
Not on the main face. I should point out for a comment that we just had concerning the eastern side, the batter piles, I understand were not replaced because of the perceived lack of need. Problem is, there has been a change over the last few years with Casco Bay Lines scheduling. And although not regularly scheduled, at least twice a day, there's an opportunity that the eastern side is now used by Casco Bay Lines for freight when two boats are present at the same time. Casco Bay Lines is working on schedule changes this summer to eliminate that problem and space the boats out more, but it's become a common occurrence now that you can see two boats of Casco Bay Lines, one at the end, one on that eastern side on a regular enough basis due to the freight loading that has increased over the last couple of years.
Joe, is it generally the McCoy that ties up on the east end and the Arcosisco at the end, or...?
Usually, there's been a few occasions where it'll be the McCoy and the Wabanaki so that they have two opportunities with two cranes to be handling passengers and freight. It's just something that needs to be considered, I think, when we take a look at getting going on what that eastern side might need.
Well, even before the way it was designed before, even with batter piles, it really wasn't. It didn't have any of the rubber cushions or anything. It wasn't really set up as a berthing site to begin with.
Yeah, I understand that. It was, again, life has changed quite a bit since COVID with the and the Casco Bay Line changes with how they schedule their boats and how they're handling the freight. Increase in freight has been a tremendous issue at Casco Bay Lines. I should point out, I do have another role in life. I'm one of the vice presidents of Casco Bay Lines Board of Directors too, so I get involved in a lot of these discussions.
Now we know who to blame.
It's not the, yeah, it's you blame the captains. It's just that they're trying to be as efficient as they can, and they fit there. So they utilize it. I don't think, like I said, we're aware of the problem and we've made changes in the schedule this upcoming summer that should eliminate the need for that eastern side, but I just wanted to make sure everybody was aware of it.
Okay. Yeah, so on the eastern side, at this point, these piles have been replaced recently and the whales have been replaced. So those would not need, well, and the planks have been replaced as well. So we would not be needing to replace those as part of the current project, but it is really helpful to understand DOT's view on responsibility here, which is, sounds like the piles and whales would be DOT elements. And so again, it's really just the wave screen planks and the lower and upper chocks that would be town.
A question for Joe Prescott on this. Joe, do you recall if those fender piles were driven to resistance or just embedded, 8-10 feet?
I believe they were embedded 20. So okay. There was no resistance. We didn't have a resistance spec on it.
All right. I wasn't sure if they were lightly embedded where they could just be, yanked out and some rubber mounting be put in between the that upper whale just to give it some give when the ferry comes in, but that's just a thought.
It's right up against the concrete cap, so they'd almost have to be pulled and reset out.
Yeah, I was thinking if they were just, you know, lightly set in as fender piles and not driven 20 feet, you could just kind of twitch them out and drive some stuff in between. But if they're in 20 feet, you're not going to do that.
And I don't, on that side, Dan, I don't believe, I think we did an agreement to, so that DOT didn't have any responsibility on that face.
Okay.
Correct me if I'm wrong, Rick.
No, it was written that way intentionally, and that was the original intent when the pier was built. I guess to me, it's good that we have, you know, Joe, that you're involved in the board for Casco Bay, because hopefully you can, through schedule changes, address the or eliminate the need to dock on that side, because that side was never intended to support docking of a ferry. So if it is docked there regularly, you're not going to get the life out of the structure that we would all hope to get.
Yeah, understood. And I'll definitely pass that on to operations there to make sure. Again, it's an infrequent occurrence, but I didn't want it to be left that it wasn't happening. And again, the schedule changes this summer should make that eliminated. I do have a little question. The comment that was just made that there was an agreement on the responsibility for the work done on the eastern side last year. Who was that agreement with?
It was executed by Brian and by Nate Moulton. It's with the department.
Okay. And the fact that I'm not sure who made the decision where when that work was done, there's an area in the center of the eastern side behind the boarding ladder that's in there that was not completed. Was there a reason that was not completed? Because what happens now, northerly anything, northeast primarily, the wave activity through that opening is can be quite severe.
When we put that kind of project out, it was kind of evolved really from my perspective as bridge maintenance, you know, limited resources, obviously towns are well aware of that. We had a laundry list of work to do at all the islands, you know, a couple piles here and there. That's how we got CPM on board. And when we looked at this, we just kind of stuck with the original design. So I just pulled up the old plans and we were kind of trying to figure out who's responsible with all the piles and whatnot on that easterly face. And as we kind of worked through it, it was, like I said, with money notwithstanding and limited resources, I try to, you know, not try to pull on any more work than I need. So we try to stick just to the front face. And when we put this project together, realizing that all those piles were 1996, I think part of trying to get an agreement done was to replace all the piles and put everything back in kind so that we could kind of to do an agreement. Otherwise we wouldn't have been able to do that.
So Joe, just to add a little bit to that, I'm not sure why these, so there's an opening here at the ladder on this face. And then also, if you look at the main face, there's one opening under the ramp, and that's how this was originally built in the 90s. I'm not sure why they, didn't continue the wave screen continuously, because obviously it will be more effective if you have more complete coverage. That was one of the recommendations that we had made when we first looked at this project. And so as part of the work that was planned, we were actually planning to close those gaps, both at the ramp and then on the other side. But yeah, like it was mentioned, for the work that was done in 2022, that was basically bringing it back to the condition as it was originally designed.
For a point of clarity, I do have the cooperative agreement and maintenance responsibilities clause in front of me. If you'd like me to read that, I can.
Sure.
So this is the town of Long Island shall maintenance responsibilities. The town of Long Island shall be responsible for all maintenance of the wave fence, including structural elements of the northeast and southwest sides of the pier, as well as all town additions to the state-owned pier. Any improvements or changes to these facilities need to be coordinated with Maine DOT. The maintenance responsibilities herein intend to further clarify the 1996 agreement between the town of Long Island and Maine DOT.
And that was from last year.
Yes, that was from, let's see, that was signed in, yeah, April of 2022. Yep.
Can you send that around? Teach me
that. No.
I have not seen that.
I hadn't either, but I'm sure it exists. That'll teach me not to get reelected for a year, Brian.
Yeah, I can send that around, Dan and Joe and whoever else needs it. Yep.
Okay.
And I think the reason we kind of stuck with the original design is just I'd already had a contractor on board. You know, getting materials was kind of tough at the time with COVID and everything. So we just stuck with it.
There were a lot of circumstances. I guess the thing is to move forward from this point on. And as we kind of get around to scheduling this work, when and if that happens, we'll just have to address that in the front issue with the original GEI plans to make it.
Yeah, I don't think it would be a huge
a better system.
I don't think it'd be a huge undertaking to you know, put a couple whales on the backside, and that would give you some chocks to throw the planks on to close that in. I don't see it would affect anything. So
yeah, I don't know why that was not done in 1996, but it seems to make sense to close that off. So there's already a low whale there, and we had already detailed this. There has to be some different details to make it work around the ladder, but continuing that across was part of the town's plans.
I forwarded the cooperative agreement on to you, Dan Bannon, as well as Brian Dudley, Joe Donovan. I do not have your email address, but I'm sure one of these fine fellows can send it to you.
I'm sure Brian and his techno magic can do it.
I'm back courtesy of Rick, by the way, so I can hear everything now.
Oh, so we've got to stop talking about you.
I apologize. I lost about 8 minutes of the audio there for reasons I'm not even sure of still. But anyways, I am back here.
So this, to me, I think this has been really helpful clarification, both learning about that 2022 agreement and some of the feedback that DOT has provided on the main face, I think is really helpful. That definitely provides more information I was not aware of prior to this call. One question I have from that is, if the town is planning upgrades and say planning upgrades to this main face and wants to replace these planks, because many of them do need to be replaced, and some of these elements are not or have damage, and I guess the question is, what kind of process should the town go through to work with DOT to confirm whether those elements need to be replaced, and if so, to make sure they get done so that the town doesn't expend effort and money on replacing elements that are that would end up being mounted to something that would just have to be replaced also in the near future.
Hey, I think that answer might take a little bit of thought, but I'm sure we can come up with something. You know, the truth of the matter is, you know, when we reviewed that 1996 agreement between DOT and the town, it never made sense anyways. I'm not sure why the town and the DOT at that time were so concerned about the wave screen being a responsibility of the town. Obviously, the town really didn't have the wherewithal to maintain it or the systems in place to maintain it, but it was a new town. Everything was moving at paces that can't be explained. You know, taking that agreement also included the floats, the ramps, and sure the street lights, the wharf lighting. Again, to somebody at that time, it made sense. I've asked Paul Pottle about it a few times because he was DOT at that time, and this was his project, but he can't really remember why it was written the way it was either. Because to me, the attachment to the Mariners, the way it's set up, is just made more sense than all of that, because it's all tied together. It just should belong to DOT. But that's something we can discuss once the project's done. But right now, we got money. You guys got money. How do we get this thing done? How do we get to getting out of contract, bid, RFP, whatever it's going to take to move this project forward with whatever's necessary for shared costs associated with both sides of the project, state side, town side. You know, you guys have been through all this. You know that one of the biggest costs other than materials on these projects is the mobilization costs associated with getting barges and crews in there. And we got to do, this project has to be done together. It just doesn't make any financial sense and timing sense not to do it that way. And we certainly have to bring in the other stakeholder, Casco Bay Lines, for timing issues. But, I think this has been a really good step forward, recognizing the different responsibilities.
Do you guys have a sense of when you would want to put the larger project out to bid?
I do, but I'm not sure everybody agrees. I would have said yesterday. But I think the agreement first has to be discussed and finalized as to how is that going to be presented as an RFP to anybody if there's a, that's out of my league. How we present these to potential bidders is it all fall under DOT and it's just the town just contributes money to the project? Or does we split it up, or does the town take total responsibility and DOT just throws in say, that's out of my brains right now.
Dan, if I just throw out, this is Brian. One of the difficulties going forward is now going to be the introduction of this federal money and the coordination with their requirements and things of that nature. One of the big issues that they've been stressing is the environmental reviews. I need to get clearance from HUD that we have met those environmental reviews. We have our existing DEP permit that's still in force, and the Army Corps of Engineers has extended our expired permit. So I just need to get HUD now to sign off on those to see if we move forward from there. In terms of the timing of this project, I mean, maybe I'm wrong here, and I hate to say this, but it's conceivable we may be a year from now before we actually get going on it.
Yeah, so as when it was a town and state funded project only, we did have all the permits in place and the design was essentially complete, except for just confirming which elements of the existing structure need to be replaced. The federal funding, that may bring in some additional timeline on the regulatory side, because with federal funding, that will bring in the need to comply with NEPA. And we did not go through a NEPA process before. Hopefully this would be found to be a, they would issue a finding of no significant impact, or similar low-level review process. But there may be some additional work needed there. But I think the other question is just related to the process that the town needs to go through. So if the town knows what the end result is that they want, as shown in the plans here, if our plans indicate that we need to have, we need to have our new wave screen mount to these whales, and we question whether they're in suitable condition for reuse, how do we present that concern to DOT? How does DOT accept or not accept that? And then how does that get included in the project if it is something that needs to get included?
From the perspective of Ship Grant, Ship Grant monies won't be applicable to any other DOT endeavor here. So I'm pretty sure Ship Grant should only be eligible for the municipal maintenance responsibility of the wave screen portion of the project, so that we're not cross-pollinating with state funding here. Ship Grant, I don't think, can fund M&O stuff. So that's just a point of clarification. Secondary point on the Ship Grant funding is I am out into FY 2026 for funding right now. So that's another bit of information to consider while looking at timeline and as we put together a funding plan for this project.
So, Joe, feel free to just jump in and correct me here if I misspeak or don't have this exactly right. Obviously, there are components in the front fendering system that have more life to give. But for your project, the wave screen on the front to have an appropriate life, we need to make sure that they're the components, like the DOT components in the screen that's being shared right now. If some of those need to be replaced in order for the wave screen to have its desired life, then, we could probably eat some of, we can probably fairly easily, I say we, maybe Dan can fairly easily identify the components that would be DOT responsibility and have maybe a separate summary of that, and whatever that dollar amount is to address the department's responsibilities, I suspect we could find the money for that and add that to the project, so that the work you do with whatever other money you have will get the life that it deserves. Anything you want to clarify on that, Joe?
I was trying to figure out how to answer Dan's questions, because he's looking for a process to get his designs approved to be attached to basically a main DOT maintained structure, which we do have policies in place for, like utility attachments and whatnot. And this is kind of one of those oddballs, right, where it's a pier. So I'd have to ask a few questions and kind of see if I can get you an answer, Dan. I know it doesn't answer your question, but I know what you're asking. You got a design to attach to a main DOT maintained structure. You need kind of that process, and I don't know as if we have one for piers. And then that would also give the review for the other pieces that you may say that need to be replaced to make this attachment, right?
Yeah. It does sound like what you're saying, though, is that those elements would be included on the plans for the town's project. So they would all be completed as one project, and DOT would participate by sharing in the cost with the town. Is that correct?
That's not necessarily, it's a possibility.
Okay.
Because I don't believe we have a project scheduled for this in multimodal as of in the 3-year work plan. So really you'd have to rely on basically what Chris is talking about, ship funding, which is out to 26.
Okay.
And another point of clarification on the SHIP grant, it can use federal funding as match. So your HUD grant can match SHIP funding to cover that match. And maximum ask is still $250,000 through the SHIP grant process.
Well, thank you, Chris. I think we're all set with the match. I wasn't concerned about that. So,
yeah, and I do have a question here. Something you guys can mull around and try and get back to us on. One of the very important aspects of the project was the wave screen extension along the eastern side. Now, this would not be a repair. This would be new construction of a new wave screen. I mean, I think it's, what was it, Dan, about 60 feet, 61 feet, something like that. But that is going to be totally on the town's responsibility to extend that. But it's definitely needs to be done, as we've found with the last 2 years worth of storms, which for whatever reason are seem to be longer duration and more severe, and especially with the higher tides that have matched up to them. If we don't do that, the investment on the southwest side, which is the new floats, the ADA ramp, and the access to our rescue boat, are huge risks. Every storm that comes through now, we're required to lift that ramp. Do emergency repairs afterwards because of the damage that's being inflicted on those. So that one there, we need to prioritize, the town needs to prioritize to get that done as soon as feasible with contractors. But again, it's one of those projects that doesn't make an awful lot of financial sense to some degree if it's not tied into the repair work that needs to be done to the rest of the wave screen. So I throw that out there just for thought as to how this is going to play out.
Are the floats directly adjacent to that? Are those seasonal floats or are those year-round floats?
Those are seasonal. Those are seasonal. On the eastern side are seasonal.
Okay. Yeah, I didn't know if that was if wave attenuation floats for year-round service over there was a viable option. I know that reach down between Long and Chabig is awful on the northeast, but I didn't know if that was something to consider, but yep.
Dan and I have talked about it briefly over the years. I don't think we ever priced that out, did we, Dan? Putting floats, wave attenuating floats in there.
We didn't get prices. We did look at some conceptual layouts for wave attenuator floats up there, but no, we never priced it. But those floats they're pretty expensive.
Yeah, they're about $100 to $120 a square foot delivered.
They're, yeah, probably even more than that now. Chris, you're probably aware because you saw the project that bid in Rockland recently.
That's where the numbers came from, buddy.
Oh, okay.
It's a good dumper to have.
Knowing your demand for throughput on this pier has increased in the off season. I just wondering whether there would be any increase of service with concrete floats off of that end of the pier, whether it would increase your ability to serve the community. But it's just a thought, looking at the design and knowing the layout. That's all.
Yeah. There's a the town just completed a comprehensive plan for the state, and that was one of the things that came up on a regular basis, more year-round floats than what we currently have. The phase one project, I will tell you that it's been a huge safety success in the wintertime. Now the fact that we can keep the rescue boat in its berth and not have to put it on a mooring during any kind of blow has cut our response time for rescue calls by almost 30 minutes. We can get somebody to Portland from time of tone out to MedCue in almost on a regular basis, 40 to 45 minutes now, which before it was well over an hour.
The ADA ramps make a huge difference on that too. And, you know, when in doubt, just tell Stevie to put another turbo on that boat.
Yeah, we can't do that because he's still in Florida.
I know, he's having an awful lot of fun too.
Yeah, he is.
Any suggestions of where we should go from here? We need to stop and think about this conversation.
Well, I'm just wondering, as a follow-up to this discussion, if, you know, again, going back to this table that I had suggested a few years ago, I wonder if we should fill this out, basically the town fill out what their understanding would be based on the discussions that have been had today, and then send that to DOT to see if you are on the same page and we're all in agreement about where those specific elements fall.
I think that's a good start. You can always add to it if you feel there's anything else that's not listed there.
The only thing I would add is if we're going to utilize this table for any official use, that it references the current cooperative agreement as a quote unquote, you know, notwithstanding the current agreement. Just so we don't get into a contradictory situation between the agreement and this table for future reference.
Yeah, definitely. This would only be hopefully to supplement and clarify and really what's already in the agreement. So good comment. We'll take a look at that.
I would encourage, at this point, I think you have enough information to know what you're going to ask of the SHIP program for this project. So I would probably initiate the letter of intent and the SHIP grant application sooner rather than later. I have a lot of interest in SHIP grant monies currently. So as they come in, they're getting applied to the work plan. So I don't want to have you guys wait until, you know, June or July to throw a SHIP grant my way and find out you're out to FY27, because I do only have $500,000 a year to apply to SHIP grant.
Yeah, Chris, we're just about ready to submit that application now that we have everything else in place. This was really an outstanding discussion to have prior to sending that on to you. So we can get that to you fairly soon.
Fantastic. I appreciate that. And, you know, as soon as it lands on my desk, we'll start plugging it into a work plan.
Great. Thank you.
Can I just get clarification? Brian and I talked about this morning briefly, and just want to clarify something. In the DOT work plan for 23, this project was included in that plan. I have no idea if any money was actually allocated to it other than what the town had collected for funding. Where is that funding program? Where is that?
I can clarify that. And Rick, if you know more than I do, you know, jump right in. But so that was plugged into the work plan based upon what was happening in 21, 22. Those monies were expended during the CPM portion of the construction. And that project is in the work plan yet finalized. So there is no existing funding associated with Mariner's Wharf currently.
Okay, so the $208,000 that was in the previous work plan and that went to the CPM project, and the $715,000 that was in this plan, the current plan, or last year actually, for 2023, that money just filtered away somewhere?
It
was never allocated?
I believe so, but I could definitely double back and check that for you. The only Mariner's Wharf Long Island project I had when I took this job over was the one that was completed by CPM. Anything else isn't under my umbrella, but I can look into it for you.
Yeah. There was the latest plan that I saw has nothing for Long Island, but last year's did and the previous year's did. And
I believe that project was closed out through the work of CPM. And we discussed, Brian and I discussed, there was a ship grant application that was kind of hanging out, but that application didn't have any congruency with the current scope of work being proposed by this discussion. So it was kind of null and voided. And I encourage Brian to reapply with an appropriate scope of work moving forward with a little bit more proper delineation of where maintenance expenditures were supposed to come from, whether it be the town or DOT, which has led us to this conversation now.
Okay, well, if you can just take a look at that. Okay.
Great. Well, thank you, everybody. We'll work on that that chart, and I'll follow up with everyone in some kind of a summary of what we discussed here today.
Great.
Sounds good. And you know, Brian and Dan, as you work through the ship grant, if you need any help, you know where to find me.
Yeah, I will. Thank you, Chris.
I do have a question on the M&O side of it, though. DOT has let a contract, I believe, for pile wraps on Mariners that's supposed to be starting in this year. That won't impact anything we're doing here. So all the steel piles are being treated, correct?
Correct.
And that's supposed to start this spring or not till the fall? Do we know?
I'm not sure on the exact start time, but it is Long Island's and Peaks. We're going to just do the steel pile wraps. Shouldn't affect it really much of anything.
And I believe that's all dive work, isn't it, Joe?
Correct.
I think so.
Hopefully the effect it will have is the asset lives a lot longer.
Yeah.
I will email you, Dan, to the attachment process as soon as I can dig one up that's clear enough.
Great. Yeah, thank you.
I'm all set. I'm going to go back to the lobster business. Have a great day, everybody.
Thank you, everybody.
All right.
Thank you.
See ya.
Thank you very much.